case, which is Jones versus Brown. Mr. Fox.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Ryan Foose, and I'm representing the petitioner Tyrone Jones in this habeas appeal. The court granted a certificate of appealability on a finding that Mr. Jones had made a substantial showing that his constitutional right to effective assistance of counsel was violated. The court asked the parties to specifically address whether counsel was ineffective for failing to suppress the fruits of the search of Mr. Jones's clothing and shoes. I'm here to argue that the answer is yes, counsel was ineffective. Trial counsel was Mr. McShane.
Counsel, would you speak up a little bit?
Sure. Trial counsel in this case was Mr. McShane and Rodriguez, and they were unaware of a right afforded to Mr. Jones under Indiana's Constitution. The right was explained in Pirtle v. State, which stands for the proposition that a person in custody must be informed of the right to consult with counsel about the possibility of a search before a valid consent to search can be given.
Indiana courts have since limited that case, haven't they?
They have, somewhat. There are a few cases coming out of mostly appellate courts, one Supreme Court case, that took the broad Pirtle right, which gave the detainee the right to consult with counsel in any circumstances, and they've restricted it by carving out small cases such as a search such as...
Why does this case fall within the purviews of those exceptions the court has made?
This is a broad search. As Mr. Jones pointed out in his briefing, they took his clothes and shoes. They took everything from him, and they left him naked. It wasn't a minor invasion of privacy like a breathalyzer.
Is there any indication that any of those pieces of clothing were taken pursuant to an inventory search?
No, Your Honor. That would have been, if it had been a standard procedure, it might have been an inventory search. There are certain justifications for having an inventory search.
Your understanding is that the state does not rely on that exception?
That's correct. We haven't heard that argument, and until this appeal, all we'd heard is that Mr. Jones consented to the search. And if you look at the facts, that appears to be what happened. Detective Benner noticed that the shoes seemed to match footprints from the crime scene. They asked him to consent to giving over his shoes and clothes, and he did so. So for the first time here on this appeal, where the state is arguing that this was a search incident to arrest, we've argued that it's not, because there are several bases for searches incident to arrest. One is the preservation of evidence. Another is to protect officers, and finally, to preserve evidence of the crime of arrest. In this case, he was arrested on unrelated charges. Mr. Jones was arrested, we don't know, I believe it was for battery, but the evidence that was taken from him with his consent was evidence related to a murder charge, which he hadn't been arrested for yet.
He has not been arrested for the...
He had not been arrested at the time the search was taken. He's since been arrested. A preservation of evidence, we don't believe, is at issue.
What about the statements he made to the police? Are you complaining about those?
Yes, Your Honor. We believe those would be fruits of the poisonous tree.
What?
We believe those are fruits of the poisonous tree.
What is that about? Fruits of the poisonous tree?
Sure. Those statements were made on April 11th. His clothes and shoes were taken on April 10th. So Detective Benner took the clothes and shoes on April 10th. The following day, he came in to talk to Mr. Jones. He said, "These are the things I know." Showed him the clothes, or showed him the shoe prints. He said the shoe prints matched. There's blood on the shoes.
But did he order Jones to give him his shoes or just ask him?
No, he just asked for consent.
Well, what's wrong with that? I don't get that.
Under federal constitution, there wouldn't be a problem, but under the Indiana constitution.
What sense does that make? You
can't ask someone, does they want to look at your shoes? You can say no, right?
Indiana has...
I mean, no wonder Indiana is moving away from this rule. It doesn't make any sense.
That
it's a handicap investigation for no reason whatsoever.
Indiana has chosen to give their...
I mean, it's not as if they're... It's not as if they're framing him or anything. It's his shoes. They say, I want to look at your shoes. How can an innocent person be somehow wronged by this? And what's the invasion of privacy? You're not even, your shoes aren't taken away. Someone just asks you, I'd like to look at your shoes. You can say no. If you say yes, what's that have to do with privacy?
Well, to address the privacy point first, they took everything away from him. They
look, you're inaudible. Can you speak up?
They took everything from him. They took his...
Forget about it. The shoes with all sorts of damaging evidence on it. So they ask him for his shoes, and he gives them the shoes. Now, what does this have to do with the Constitution? Or with anything? I mean, why would you ever have a rule which said the police can't ask you for your shoes?
Indiana has that.
Well, why? How about a reason for it? Because if it's totally idiotic, that would help to explain why Indiana courts are busy backing off from it. So I just hoped you'd give me a reason why this is a great rule.
It protects the same kind of interests as Miranda protects.
What is the interest in not having your shoes looked at, for goodness sake?
The interest is the right to consult with counsel.
I mean, it's... Oh, come on. It's not like the privacy interest people have in their diaries and their cell phones and on their computers and all this. It's just your shoes. What is the privacy interest in his shoes?
Miranda protects...
How about some common sense? What's the common sense of this rule?
I won't defend the common sense of Indiana's courts, but they've established this rule under their constitution.
But they're busy moving away from it because they obviously overdid it the first time.
Isn't this governed by ADEPA?
I'm sorry?
ADEPA?
Yes, it is.
And doesn't that now change the scene? Was it unreasonable to ask for the shoes? As
it was unconstitutional under Indiana's constitution to ask for the shoes. ADEPA protects...
I wish you'd smile when you say that. Unconstitutional to ask to look at someone's shoes, to ask to look for at someone's shoes.
Mr. Bruce, at the time the officer confronted your client and asked him some questions about the shoes after he had taken them. Had your client been Mirandized by that time?
Yes, he had. But...
go ahead.
Indiana has said that being given the Miranda rights are not enough. That's Torres v. State. Being Mirandized is not enough. You have to additionally give the Pirtle rights.
This is when he's asking for some kind of a verbal response, though. This is after the shoes have been taken.
Oh, yes. He was Mirandized on April 10th.
So there's certainly been an intervening event, hasn't there, then? The man knows he doesn't have to answer questions, right?
That's true.
And at the time the detectives confronted him, did they know the results of the shoes?
They didn't know the results of the DNA test. It appears they knew that there was blood on the shoes, and that's what they presented Mr. Jones with. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Foss. Mr. Rowan?
May it please the Court, my name is Gary Rowan from Indiana Attorney General's Office. I represent Respondent Superintendent in this case. The District Court should be affirmed for two reasons. The motion to suppress would not have been sustained under Indiana law, and also the Indiana Court of Appeals reasonably determined no prejudice as a result of any alleged or even assumed Pirtle violation. Essentially, what Jones is asking this court to do is to rewrite the Indiana Constitution. This Pirtle is based on Indiana law created by the Indiana Supreme Court. And as this court well knows, the Indiana Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of Indiana law. And as throughout the years, only...
Oh, this is Indiana. I was confused. This was Wisconsin. Sorry.
No, we're firmly in Indiana, Your Honor. So for this court to grant relief...
I think Indiana is ultra-conservative and this...
Correct, Your Honor, and that is exactly the point that I wish to make, is this is a state-created rule that has gone beyond the Fourth Amendment, and therefore the state of Indiana has the ultimate say of when and where it applies. As this court knows, it can't rewrite or interpret questions of state law. And that's what Jones asked the Indiana Court of Appeals. He essentially asked them to extend Pirtle to his situation. The Indiana Court of Appeals said no. And that's what he's now asking this court. In regards to the statement, as the Indiana Court of Appeals found, he couldn't prove a direct link, a direct result from any supposed Pirtle violation to his statements. Jones asserts in his brief that Detective Benner had confronted him with the results of the shoes before he made his statements. But there's just nothing in the record that supports that. He gave two statements on April 11th. Both of those were recorded and transcripts are included in the state court record. No mention of the shoes. There's just nothing. And then the only mention of the shoes is after Jones gives a story of self-defense. And then Jones asked Detective Benner at the post-conviction hearing, he asked him point blank, did you come and confront me and tell me about the results of the shoes? And Benner said no. In fact, the statement came in on April 11th, 2002. The DNA testing results didn't even come back until February 2003. So there just simply is no evidence. And again, for this court to find that the April 11th statements were somehow a Pirtle violation, it would have to extend and rewrite the Indiana Constitution on that rule. Again, as discussed in the brief, the Indiana Supreme Court has sort of dealt with a case that's very, very similar to this, and decided that Pirtle doesn't apply to a search incident to arrest.
Now, the Court of Appeals of Indiana, they decided this on the prejudice prong, did they not?
Correct, Your Honor. They just did away with it on prejudice. Quite frankly, I think it's very easy for this court to do the same. Again, if at the very, very most, what could have been suppressed were the shoes and DNA, the statements, there's nothing linking any sort of Pirtle violation to those statements. And the shoes and the DNA... were cumulative of one of his statement. And also, there's other evidence that established that he was inside the apartment and sort of give the opportunity to commit the crime.
What about this inventory search theory? Was that, in fact, just raised on appeal?
Yeah, Your Honor, it wasn't presented to district court, but again, as this court can sort of consider any argument to affirm, the district court can be raised... The appellee can raise any new argument for affirmance. It's not like a affirmative defense such as a time bar or procedural bar. This is simply a theory that this court can affirm the district court on. And again, the search incident to arrest has been settled by the Indiana Supreme Court. It said Pirtle does not apply. And so had Jones presented this and got further to the merits, it never would have... been sustained.
The Indiana Supreme Court has said it does not apply?
Pirtle does not apply to search incidents to arrest. They do not have to give any sort of Pirtle warning. And quickly to answer Judge Posner on a question about the reason for the rule, the rule is derived from the Indiana Constitution, Article 1, Section 13, right to counsel. And so really privacy is not in play, especially invasion of privacy. That's all Fourth Amendment law. This we're dealing with Indiana law, and Indiana is able to determine when and where Pirtle should apply. Again, for this court to grant Jones relief, it'd have to rewrite the Indiana Constitution. That's just something this court cannot do. Ask to affirm the district court. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Boss, anything further?
Just a few points. We're not asking this court to rewrite Indiana law. Pirtle has never been overturned. And the U.S. Constitution is what we're asking about here. The U.S. Constitution gives defendants the right to counsel that understands the law. Here, the counsel didn't understand the law, Pirtle, and as a result, my client was prejudiced. The Indiana Court of Appeals didn't find a lack of prejudice. What they said was, we don't understand the prejudice arguments. And with that, my time is up, unless there are questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Foss and Mr. Rahm. And court will stand in recess.